You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to link up for Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
Morena Desley, how are you this morning?
Morena Rachel, very well, thank you. How are you?
Very good, thank you. We're going to hear a wee bit about some stuff you've been up to recently, but we've got to start with the sewage situation in the Waitemata Harbour. This is pretty bad. We're looking at 8 million litres of sewage pouring into the Waitemata Harbour at the moment. This is because of a sinkhole due to old infrastructure or the water that we've seen this year. What's the situation at the moment?
Well, it started last Monday, really. Wairakea alerted us to a hole in the ground in a car park in Parnell. And the hole quickly became what they call it tomo, or a sinkhole the size of a tennis court, which is about 20 metres wide, 30 metres deep. And just to give you a bit of an indication on that, you know, that's as deep as or as high as a four-storey building. So
oh
you're talking
God.
A significant hole in the ground, right? So there are two issues. One is to fix that break in the pipe, and two, to stop the overflow. Mm. They're calling it a level 3 incident, which is the highest that they have, mm-hmm. Meaning it's the absolute main priority for everyone at Wairakea to work towards fixing the issue. So I'm going to start with the why it happened. And look, they've got an independent person coming in to have a look, but even though the pipe is really old, it was made in 2012 and, you know, it's 2 metres wide, they're not sure it was the pipe that is at fault. They've checked the pipe either side of where it has broken and filled up, and the pipe's fine. Because in infrastructure, it's not necessarily the age of a pipe, it's what sort of condition it's in. So, for example, Wairakea have got 30-year-old pipes that, you know, are compromised, and 100-year-old pipes that seem to be mm-hmm. doing okay. So they're having a look at that. The blockage, however, is 25 metres long, and that's a significant blockage. They're about half the way through getting rid of all the earth and rocks and stuff that came down into it, but they've still got a long way to go. And what they've struck now is the fact that the size of the rocks are so big inside this pipe that they can't get them out the manhole. So they're looking at sort of ways to clear that.
Mm.
As a result, we've got obviously the environmental aspects around the sewage that is going into the harbour. I mean, I was down there yesterday at Ham Street having a look. If you walk down there and have a look, you can obviously see where it's going into the harbour. The colour is there. Just by the naked eye, you don't need to, be an industrial scientist to figure out what's happening.
Yes.
So, and I spoke to this independent scientist, and he said, look, it's pretty bad. It's not as bad as what they had during the floods, which, of course, was pretty much where every emergency overflow was so compromised, it was all pouring in. But it is still significantly bad. It's got fecal matter in it, et cetera. So the big public health warning, Rachel, is please do not go into the harbour. You know, you wouldn't want your ears, eyes, mouth or anything else compromised in the state of that water.
So, that's obviously the immediate thing. Stay out of the water. I mean, no one wants to be getting in there at the moment, for sure. But in this long-term sense, how long is it going to take? Once they manage to stop the overflow, which obviously is being worked on at the moment, how long is it going to take for that harbour to be at a safe level again for, say, swimming or even just being in the water?
Right. Well, they've got black sand everywhere on the safe swim website, which means don't swim there. They're trying to get the overflow stopped within a 10-day period, so hopefully by the end of this week.
Mm-hmm.
But then they keep they're testing the water every day, of course. But actually, even once the overflow is stopped, they still keep testing just to make sure there's no residual, concerns. And only then will the black flags be lifted.
Mm.
Look, that part of the city, I don't know if you know it, it's very popular for recreational fishing as well.
Yes.
So we have people, like when I was down there yesterday, there are people making sure there was no one fishing. There's signage up at a lot of our beaches and signage along there. And actually the signage is coming out in all sorts of languages as well to assist with that.
That's good to hear. But yeah, this is a pretty bad situation. I'm sure we'll talk about it again next week, Desley, when we've got you on. But I do want to hear about your visit to Mangere this week, because that seems like it was an interesting experience for you. Obviously, connecting with some of the communities to hear about how they're doing in this recovery from the flooding. We've had a lot of conversation, I think, about West Auckland in recent times, because there are still obviously communities out there who are, you know, experiencing very acute problems from the flooding earlier in the year. But also in South Auckland, there's some really significant long-term impacts. What were some of the conversations you were having with people on the ground there, Desley?
It was really interesting. I mean, Mangere was and still is one of the most affected parts of Tamaki Makaurau. I mean, it wasn't as dramatic looking for media, i.e. it's not a slip-based suburb problem. It is a flooding-based problem.
Mm.
So, yeah, I asked to go out, and what was really interesting, I took someone from the recovery office with me, but also the weekend before I had gone out, I had banged into a couple of MPs and told them about the meeting, and they had come as well. And that was very useful, because the people were talking about all sorts of effects and issues they were having, and some we could help with, and some were definitely central government.
Yep.
So it was a really interesting conversation. But I think, as I said, that the difference for me, the obvious difference, was around absolute flooding. Look, there's a lot of Kāinga Ora homes out there, and they have built those new homes with a type of polystyrene in the foundations to keep the home warm. But what had happened is it meant that the houses almost floated, you know? So it's really, really concerning. I mean, the stress on all families is really bad, and Mangere it was no different. I mean, we had awful stories where, you know, there are people who'd lost a child, unborn child. But you know, they have a big culvert through there, the Blackbridge culvert, and to the naked eye, you'd think it's absolutely fine. It's a big culvert. It's got green space either side, but it still burst. So what are we doing about it? I think the thing that really stood out for me is we need to communicate better in communities that have, you know, many languages and that are quite diverse. So what we've got is we have recruited a community convener who will proactively work within the community. They attended the street chat alongside Kāinga Ora, and we'll have a key person that people can speak to. And I think that's important. And also four what we call navigators are being recruited who will be embedded in the community. This is a role that was very similar, came out of the Christchurch flood.
Yeah.
Again, to just help join up residents and members of the community with the right people in the right organisations to help them, because that was it. They just, not everyone knew where to go.
Yeah.
You know, no one knows the community better than the community itself. And
absolutely.
And that was, you know, I think one of the key messages that they were giving me.
I'm interested in what it was you were observing as a central government issue. What's some of the stuff that you see being something that needs that central government collaboration to support it?
Yeah, it was things like emergency housing. It was things like they didn't know how to access extra support necessarily, you know. And, you know, the MPs picked up those, you know, yes, I can help with that, yes, I can help with that sort of style, you know?
Yeah.
So it was almost like they just, you know, when people are really stressed, even though they can be told, sometimes they don't hear. And I don't mean that in any way negatively. It's just that these people are really stressed. Mental health support, you know, those kinds of things. And they just don't know what to do, and they are just existing. And I tell you what, Rachel, it breaks your heart. It absolutely does. The stories that people were telling you, it's in fact, I'm all getting goosebumpy just remembering it. It's you know, taking a photo is hurting.
Mm.
It is hurting, and the sun's out today and it's shining, but